When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You hear that music, you know what it means. Doesn't mean it's 3 o'clock. No, no, no. It means it's 3 o'clock on Thursday. That's the only time we use that song, because that's when Sheil Kapadia joins us. Sheil is sponsored by Dr. Raffi and Precision Hair Restoration. You'll keep losing your hair until you stop it. Dr. Raffi can help you get your confidence back. Visit PhillyHairMD.com today. Sheil, how are we feeling?
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
What up, Sheil?
So, Sheil, I'm going to ask you the thing we've been talking about all day. As you know, there's been a lot of debate over the Eagles' decisions to go for the fourth downs they did, to go for the two-point conversions they did on Sunday. My gut tells me I want them to keep doing this, that it has worked. It's been an advantage for them for 7 years. Keep doing it, even though it didn't work on Sunday, though most people are in the just take the points camp. I'm curious where you are in that debate.
Yeah, I always lean towards being aggressive. So I lean a little bit more towards, you know, I do think there has to be a consistency. You know, I think earlier in the season, some of the decisions Nick Sirianni was making, there wasn't that kind of consistency where he would do one thing one time, another thing another time. And I just look at some of the attempts they had last week. Like, if you look at it at that moment in time, the brotherly shove had been a very successful play for them all season long, almost automatic for much of the season. And so when I'm watching the game at that moment in time, I try to decide right then, do I think they should go for it or not go for it? And I was fine with it. You know, I think if you look at the two-point tries, a lot of teams in the NFL are doing that now, where if you get the penalty and you get half the distance to the goal, you go for it there. So I'm probably in the minority here. I understand, but I try to, you know, judge it based on what I think at that moment in time rather than after the fact. Now, it is two conversations, by the way, though. One is, should they go for it? And then two, is it the right play call? Are they making the right decision with the play call? And I think that one's probably more open for criticism to me.
Well, I look at Sunday, Sheil, and I say even with the in the moment in time, there has to be, to me, I believe anyway, the consideration of how the flow of the game is going. How are we doing in executing these plays? At least I think that's what needs to be brought into the equation as well. And if you've been stuffed or you haven't executed on these plays, then at some point you just take the points. You were never trailing in the game, so you weren't in this position where it's something you certainly had to do until Jacksonville caught up to you later in the game. But one could make the argument that there are decisions that were being made there that, you know, okay, if it was okay in the first quarter, but man, we're not really executing it well today. Maybe this is just not the day for it.
Yeah, there's obviously information that they have that we don't have. Like, to your point, you know, you only practice so many two-point conversion plays throughout the course of a week. So if you use them up in short yardage and you got nothing else, then that's something only Nick Sirianni knows that I wouldn't know about, where I'm sitting here on my couch saying, be aggressive, go for it. But if it's like, no, that's not working. And the brotherly shove thing is very interesting to me. You know, you watch it, and the Jaguars kind of employed this technique where they kind of did this own shove on their own, where they kind of had their linebackers shoving the defensive tackles. And I looked at that and thought, you know, are they solving something here, or is this just kind of a random week where it's not working? Did somebody's foot slip? Is it because Jordan Mailata's not in there? So I do think that's something that the Eagles have to analyze this week, because they've had such a luxury here over the last couple of years of short yardage. They haven't really had to worry about it. They've had a go-to play that nobody could stop. But, man, you watch these other teams in the NFL, and they're going for it in some of the short yardage situations, and they're trying all kinds of nonsense, like the Eagles did with that play action where they, you know, Jalen Hurts throws the ball away. They're resorting to those types of plays. So, yeah, I think you have to figure out, you know, what kind of team are you going to be, and if you are going to be aggressive, you need to have change-ups off that play, and you need to have answers if that might not be working.
You know, if finally another team has figured out the best way to stop it, you would have to say it had a good run. And eventually a team was going to say, they're not doing this to us, and would try everything. So it will be interesting to see the next time they try it, if the opposing team tries to do what Jacksonville tried to do as well. So Saquon, Shiel, is on pace for over 370 regular season touches. One point Baldy made this to us yesterday is that doesn't even count, you know, playoffs, which if they play two playoff games, all of a sudden he's over 400. Are you concerned with the number of touches he has, and would you look to try to find a way to get that average number down?
Yeah, I am a little concerned just because of the history we have with running backs in the NFL. So yeah, he's averaging about 22 touches per game. Now, I was looking this up earlier today. His career average is about 21 touches per game. So it's not necessarily more than he's usually had, but to Baldy's point there, with the Giants, he only had to worry about the playoffs once in his career. And that is the end game for this Eagles team. No one's talking about getting to the playoffs. It's about having this guy at full strength once you get to the playoffs. So I think they would love to find ways to get him a little bit of a breather and not have him carry the football in the fourth quarter. But the fact of the matter is, like, they've needed him. And, you know, I don't look at it as reckless. When you're in one possession games or the game's close and the number of explosive plays he's produced, I don't really blame them for being like, he's got to be in the game here because we have to win this game before we can even think about the long term. So it's definitely a storyline, but at the same time, I don't necessarily know that there's a lot they can do about it if they're in these close games. I mean, listen, if they bring in Kenny Gainwell or Will Shipley on third and two and hand them the football and they got stuffed, all we're doing is yelling about how did you not have Saquon Barkley in the game. You know what Nick Sirianni's the questions he's going to be asked right after that. So, the easy answer is, hey, start blowing some of these teams out a little bit, and then it gets to the fourth quarter, and he doesn't have to carry the football as much.
The only thing I would say to the point about his touches in New York, I'd say two things. First of all, he got hurt a few times, and I'm not saying these two are the – I'm not saying that – he wouldn't have gotten hurt if he wasn't touching the ball so much, but I think it's fair to mention that. And the other thing that is fair to mention is that he was on a way worse team with way fewer weapons. And, Ike has said this a couple of times. There is no way they went into this season thinking that, especially after the bye, we're talking 22 a game for the whole season, that after the bye they would be leaning on him as heavy as they were. But everybody's right in that, well, what are you going to do? Not win the game, you know, just to not put him in there. So they're at a tough spot, you know.
But it is a good point, Spike, because just to follow up on that real quick, because before the bye, they weren't the most run-heavy team in the NFL. So they came into the season with a plan of, hey, we're going to be kind of balanced and we might, you know, pass the ball more. Since the bye, they've been the most run-heavy team in the NFL. And so that is something that's changed, and maybe this is more of an issue, a talking point that they have to figure out than it might have been going into the season.
Shiel, I feel like I'm going to ask this every week that the defense plays well, and we are several straight weeks. That is what they're doing sustainable, you know, especially given that the limited, I guess, effectiveness they've had from their edge guys.
Yeah, I'm a little, you know, the pass rush isn't what I thought it would be, but when you watch it every week, yeah, I mean, from a coverage standpoint, from as smart as these defensive backs are, the young defensive backs playing well, the communication, the way they feel more comfortable in Vic Fangio's scheme, the linebacker play, I mean, that's one of the best games the Eagles have gotten from their two linebackers in I don't know how long. Like, I was thinking back, there was a Nigel Bradham game back in the year they won the Super Bowl, but man, Zach Bond was incredible in that game. So I think a lot of it is sustainable. Now, does it mean you're going to hold teams to one touchdown, two touchdowns every single week? Of course not. You're going to face Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels and Matthew Stafford, and it's going to get harder the rest of the way. But at the same time, I'm buying what I see from the defense. It's not fluky. It's not based on getting a random turnover here or there. It's sound defense, and I have just been really impressed with what they've put on tape the last month of the season.
We got a lot of football left to be played, Shield. I want to stay on the linebackers. What do you think the chances are that these guys are the linebackers of the future? Nakobe will be in the final year of his deal after this season. Eagles like to usually get their guys signed a year early versus a year late. And Zach Bond's on a one-year deal. What's the likelihood that both of these guys are signing some type of an extension this offseason?
Yeah, I think that if they continue to play this well, I really think you'll see the Eagles look into it. Now, in the past, it's not necessarily a position they've prioritized, but at the same time, when there have been guys like, again, Nigel Bradham back in the day, they did give him an extension. And the other luxury they have in a little bit is that these cornerbacks, I mean, they could potentially be going into next season with three cornerbacks on rookie contracts in Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, and Kelee Ringo. I'm not telling you that's definitely who it's going to be, but there's a chance.
Yeah.
Those are their three corners. And so there it's like a position where usually they're paying that position more money, whereas the way the roster's set up right now, they might not be. And then you've got your Jalen Carters and your Jordan Davises. Those guys are on rookie deals right now for the time being as well. So I do think that they have some flexibility there. They're spending a lot of money, obviously, on the offensive side of the ball. But if you look at off-ball linebacker and kind of the range those guys would be in, we're not talking about, you know, like
a ton of money, right?
Yeah, you're talking about probably the, you know, I don't even know the numbers. It might be in that $6 to $8 million.
I was going to say 7 to 8. Yeah, I was going to say 7 to 8 million.
It's not like something that really prevents you from doing stuff elsewhere. And if you're Howie Roseman and you look at how much trouble you've had finding linebackers over the years, if you have two guys that fit and you're confident Vic Fangio is going to be here, it might be a spot to not overthink it.
You mentioned Jordan Davis. What's going on with Jordan Davis, man? I'm not seeing much of anything. His snaps seem to be down, so he's not playing as much. It's not looking good for Jordan Davis right now.
Yeah, they're telling you what they think of him also, and it aligns with what you said, Ike. I mean, I think in their base defense as a run-stuffing nose tackle, I think he is, I would say, slightly above average. Not like the best guy in the league, but slightly above average in that role. As a pass rusher, I mean, he's not even on the field on third downs when they go to those four down fronts there. So I think they're telling you that the pass rush is not where maybe they would want it to be, where they would think it would be. And so that's kind of, I'm just going to kind of operate by the assumption that right now he is a early down run stopping nose tackle until he proves otherwise. And I think everybody else would probably be wise to kind of take that same approach as well.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, Shil. Sunday, Eagles go to Dallas, 7.5, 8-point favorite. Dallas is in a tailspin. They're missing their starting quarterback, so I'm particularly terrified about this game. it's all setting up. Dallas is falling apart. Well, of course, here we go. So what is your prediction for Sunday's game?
Yeah, weird things can happen sometimes, I guess. Eagles have some offensive linemen there on the injury report. Cowboys might be getting Micah Parsons back. So we've talked about it before. These types of games where you're a favorite of over 7 points, you have to do something to kind of give the game away. And you might. Special teams, turnover here and there, the fumble, the weird, terrible call on the fumble we saw last week, those types of things. But those things are hard to predict. This Cowboys team, even with Dak Prescott, has been terrible this year. They can't stop the run. They can't run the football. And they have one threat in their entire passing game. So I hear you. Weird things happen, and I'm not saying it's a lock and there's no way the Eagles can lose, but I'm not going to predict them to lose. I'm not going to predict it to be that close with the way this Eagles defense is playing and the way they can run the ball with Saquon Barkley. So I've got Eagles 26, Cowboys 14, in maybe a more comfortable game than we had last week against the Jaguars.
I'll tell you, Shiel, right. We beat the Cowboys in Dallas and go into that Thursday night game against the Commanders 7-2. Mm. Ooh, what a big game that's going to be on Thursday. All right, Shiel, appreciate you, man.
Thanks, brother.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you next week.
There's Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer.
Actually, next Thursday.
Thursday.
Next Thursday we'll be playing the Commanders.
Thursday night, yes.
And hopefully the Eagles do the right thing.
What?
And sit A.J. Brown this weekend.
Oh, God. Are we doing this again? You actually got people to agree
with
you last
Everyone agrees.
Night.
Yes, of course.
No, not of course.
Present your case very quickly.
Yeah, not of course.
Yeah.
Because winning the Commanders game matters more than winning the game on Sunday. You should be able to beat the Cowboys without A.J. Brown. He's clearly banged up for the second time this year. I think needlessly wasting him in that game doesn't make any sense to me. I need him to be 100% for the Commanders game. I think if he plays this weekend, there's definitely a much less chance or worse chance that he's 100% for that Commanders game. So I'd rather just sit him. You should win without him. If you don't, whatever. The Commanders probably lose to the Steelers this weekend anyway. You're still setting up for that. You have to beat the Commanders next Thursday.
Well, that's true. But also, and you mentioned this in the pre-show meeting, Spike, I also would like to have the bird in the hand is better than what's ever landing in the bushes, man.
Right.
I don't know if you know what that means or not, Jack, but yes.
Birds are in bushes, yeah.
Yes, yes. It's the bird in the hand.
The bird in the hand.
It's worth having. Yes.
Yeah. The bird in the bush is probably fine.
Either way.
Point being,
you got to go take care of business Sunday in Dallas.
And you can do that without A.J. Brown.
That's when you get into trouble,
exactly.
Sam. We can win without our best players.
I mostly agree with you that they could beat the Cowboys without A.J., but to Spike's point, the moment you start thinking that way, listen, the last time we did something like this was the Tampa game. We saw how that worked out.
Which Tampa game?
The one we lost this year.
Right before the bye.
Different circumstances, different team. And that was both of them gone. Devontae's going to play. Dallas is back. Goddard's back. You run two tight ends.
Goddard is back. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's all right. The Calcaterra is just as good anyway. I agree with you, Ike. And Jack, I disagree with you. I understand what you're saying, but too many times when you hold the better player out for the tougher game.
Yeah.
I've actually seen this with a number of Embiid back-to-backs, and when they do it this way, it never works, right? It never works. What happens is you lose the game you're supposed to win without the good player, and then you go into the tougher game with the good player, and you lose that
one,
too.
You don't have to tell the team and telegraph what you're doing.
Just give me one out of... I want them to win both of these games, but if I can walk out of the Dallas game knowing... I have that game, and then I'll take my... It's just like, wait a minute. You're a user high-leverage reliever in the seventh inning if that game...
Fifth inning is necessary.
Right. So what I'm saying is use our high-leverage wide receiver in... We need this game on Sunday. We need this game just as bad as we need the Washington game.
And if... Obviously, I'm not in AJ's body, but the fact that he was back out at practice yesterday, running around a little bit...
Sure.
And then he's back out there today, leads me to believe it's not a severe situation here.
No.
In other words, he might have got banged up a little bit Sunday, and they took him out for precautionary reasons. Couple days, it settled down, and now he feels much better. You best believe he wants to play.
Of course, he wants to play, but I want someone down there to be the adult in the room. They've also played Embiid on times when they shouldn't have played Embiid, and it's caused them much more issues. This is the second time AJ's been hurt this year. I just want AJ for the stretch run rather than just worrying about beating the Cowboys on Sunday.
Okay, so let's compromise then. How about he's not featured? I don't know how he would agree we're going to go along with that.
The old decoy?
Yeah, but you need him out there because he draws attention.
He changes the entire offense.
Yes, that allows Saquon to run and do what he does. So, like, you want him out there on the field because it makes it more difficult for a defense to stop your offense.
I know this sounds crazy. I think if you took Saquon off the field and replaced him with Kenny Gainwell, and you took AJ off the field and replaced him with literally anyone compared to even Devontae Smith. I think even with Devontae, if you put Devontae in AJ's spot,
right.
I think AJ is impossible to replace. I think you can look like the same offense with a different running back back there. It won't be as good, obviously, but you can look similar. As soon as AJ went out of that game on Sunday, they made plays, but it looked completely disjointed.
By the way, it's almost as if nobody else is playing but Devontae when AJ's out of the game. I mean, from a receiving standpoint.
Yes, that's
true.
Yeah,
nobody else is really there.
Well, maybe the franchise quarterback should find someone else.
And that's also his favorite target.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. Congrats. See you again. Find someone else.
He's good, man.
Yes, he is.
You want to see 11 out there on the field.
I love 11. Hand up.
You tried to trade him.
Yeah.
For Patrick Surtain.
Total mistake. But yeah. He should have been on the plane in Tampa at the playoff game. And that wouldn't have been an issue.
215-592-9494. I had to take at least one person that agrees with me on the go for two thing. T in North Philly, you're on WIP. We got a lot of T's out there.
Mm-hmm.
T, what's up?
How y'all doing today?
What's up, T?
What's up, T?
So I definitely still gotta agree with Spike on this one. The reason why I gotta agree with Spike on this one specifically is because if you really look at the position that the Eagles are in, right? Saquon dropped the ball at the end of the Falcons game. The Falcons go down there. The play went how the play was supposed to go, just wasn't executed properly.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the Browns game, Saquon didn't get the first down. He did the same thing at the end of the Jaguars game. Because respectfully, if Saquon go get that first down, the game is over.
Game is over. Yep.
I don't have an issue with the play call. And I kind of agree with the things that he's saying, because it's like if he changed up his play style, it's like would we have won if we would have went with our guns type situation. But I don't really want to sit here and be like, oh, be conservative, because then you start second guessing yourself like y'all been saying. And I don't want my coach to second guess himself. So it's like if we win, we win. But we lose, we lose. I feel like as Philadelphia fans, we're going to complain anyway.
That's a good point.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
I'd rather him go out on his own terms. Like, if he get, like, all right, let's just say he start playing conservative and we start losing and he get fired. Did he get fired because of us, or did we get fired because of him?
Well, here's the thing you don't have to worry about. He's not going to all of a sudden turn into a conservative coach.
They won't let him.
That's not going to happen. Well, I think what a lot of us are saying, T, because I agree with you on in some of these instances. I'm okay when they go for it. Even when it's not successful, there are times where I said, I understood it. I understood the missed throw to AJ. I understood going for it on 4th-and-3 there. It was early enough in the game. You had moved the ball down the field. Even I felt like this is a spot we go for it here. It's some of the other ones. And I know it's easy for us to pick and choose, but that's what we do. Like that's what we're going to do as fans. When it works, we won't have anything to complain about. When it doesn't work, yeah, we're going to complain about it, especially if there was an alternative there to where you could have just taken the points.
Right, but see, another thing I also want to point out is I feel like when we look at the analytics, right, and we sit here and we take personnel into consideration, mm-hmm. even we think about the other team, right, you also got to look at analytics and think about our personnel. I feel like as an Eagles fan, we got the best offense in the entire league. Our personnel is always going to tell us to go for it. I don't know a better wide receiver combo with the running back, with the quarterback, with the offensive line that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the analytics is ever going to tell you not to go for it. You got the best offense in the NFL.
Yeah, I hear you there, but that's only on paper.
I got a question. That right, only on paper.
Yeah.
Saquon is running at the same rate as Derrick Henry.
So let me just ask you this. What if Saquon were to get injured and it was Kenny Gainwell in there?
Then that's different.
Well, hold on. But the numbers say – the numbers don't take that into consideration.
But that's the thing, though. Remember, also knowing your personnel, I don't feel like we do the touch push if we don't got a quarterback that can squat 400 pounds. And that what we say all the time? When we lost Travis Kelce,
mm-hmm.
we lost Travis Kelce, and we was like, oh, we got to hope that who we got in place is as good as him. When we seen who we had, it's like, all right, we can still do it. Because us being able to do the touch push as effectively – wasn't a for sure thing going into this year. It wasn't until we started doing it again and it was working. We was like, we can continue to do this with Jalen and with Saquon. If you don't have Jalen and we don't have the O-line that we had and we don't have Saquon, then I'm pretty sure the analytics isn't the same. And that's what I'm saying. We got to look at the personnel that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that every coach want to go out there and be the Lions coach or the Eagles coach. And how I look at it is this is a transcendent thing. Like, I feel like going forward, it's going to be more coaches that go for it on fourth down. I feel like way back when, starting the game off and telling the other team that you wanted to kick was a forbidden thing. If you won the coin toss, you were receiving a lot of times. Now we to the point where we want to kick it first because we want the ball back at the head. Mm-hmm. That wasn't always a thing. Like, mm-hmm. if you would have started way back when, like, early 2000s, and you would have been like, oh, yeah, we won the coin flip, we kicking. People are like, why is they giving the other team the ball first?
Yeah, I mean, that's changed with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not telling you it's all bad. I'm just telling you that I think there are times where you have to fight against the analytics. That's ultimately what I'm saying, is that I think there are times you need to have a feel where you can say, yeah, I know it may say this is what I should do, but nah, just go ahead and take the three or go ahead and kick the extra point. And it's okay to do that. It's okay to do that. I don't want to constantly bring up other coaches, but there are other coaches that are successful in this league that doesn't necessarily live by this creed.
So we have maybe the most important Twitter question we've had since we started doing the show.
Uh-oh.
Because as you guys know, Broads is up next with a very special Flyers in 50.
Yes.
The Flyers, in their infinite wisdom, have decided to bench their star young player tonight. Michkov.
Michkov. Mm-hmm. Jonesy let this happen?
I can't believe it. They're trying to rebuild. And they're
Jonesy let this happen?
They're taking their best player off the ice and not letting him learn.
Do we need Jonesy to go with Broads? Yeah,
I don't think Jonesy will do it, but I would love that. So we put up the Twitter question. The is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the Afternoon Fantasy Football League. Start your holiday shopping, marks-jewelers.com. Because this is such a big one, and we have Broads, Flyers, and 50, we asked you, the people, how many seconds should he get? Should he get the 50 seconds we started with, the 42 seconds he's due, or a full minute because he is so on fire? And Ike, the people have spoken.
Where'd they go? Full
Broads
minute?
Is going to get a full minute. Yeah. Flyers and 50.
Yeah, I like it.
So that is next.
I like it.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.